Hello, everyone. This is Betty, and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, May 22nd, Memorial Day weekend. And on the News Gazette in the front page, let's just go to by the numbers about the coronavirus pandemic. Day 63 of state shutdown. Illinois has 102,686 cases with 4,607 deaths. Champaign County has 497 cases with 7 deaths. Douglas has 27 cases with no deaths. Ford has 20 cases with 1 death. Piatt has 8 cases, no deaths. And Vermilion has 37 cases with 1 death. On the Illinois impact of the coronavirus, it says lawmakers could vote on a budget as early as today after working well into the night Thursday at the Capitol and a makeshift House chamber at the Bank of Springfield Center. A 2,246-page amendment serving as an appropriations bill moved into third reading in the Senate on Thursday evening, meaning Senate President Don Harmon's House Bill 64 is eligible for full passage today after passing the House on Wednesday. The Illinois House advanced a bill that would greatly expand voting by mail in the November general election, as well as make the day a state holiday this year. By a 72-43 vote, with 3 members not voting, the House sent Senate Bill 1863 back to its original chamber. Senate passage is needed to send the bill to Governor Pritzker to sign. 4 days after surpassing 400 confirmed cases, Champaign County is 3 away from topping 500 after adding 21 on Thursday. The encouraging news of the now 497 cases, 271 are considered recovered and 219 are active. Countywide, there are 22 active outbreaks, CU Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride said. An outbreak is defined by state health officials as 2 or more cases at the same facility. The health district is seeing clusters of cases linked to employees congregating at work or after work, Pride said. She urged that workers must maintain social distances in common areas such as break rooms. Okay, the title of this article is Dear Governor, and it's by Jeff D'Alessio. Shipped to the governor's office Thursday night, a 59-page case for loosening the restrictions on struggling central Illinois communities as made by mayors, county board members, and dozens of other elected leaders from Vermilion County to Villa Grove. The sender, State Senate Chapin Rose, Republican Muhammad, who said he spent parts of the past 3 weeks asking leaders in his 51st district, which includes a chunk of Champaign County and 9 others in the region, to put into words the effect the stay-at-home order and Restore Illinois plan have had on their towns. They use terms like devastation, disastrous, and irreversible damage to describe a reopening plan they say moves far too slow and unfairly treats big cities with many confirmed coronavirus cases and small towns with few the same. And the majority of respondents said they'd just like to be heard, something they believe has been missing from the process since plans were first formalized on how to respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Respectfully, wrote Farmer City Mayor Scott Testori, we ask that you stop ordering us around and instead work with us before it is too late. If you look through the letters, Rose wrote in a cover letter sent to Pritzker's team, the range of opinions is from outright hostility to being afraid to defy you. But they are basically saying the same thing, that they want to be heard and want you to work with them. Not every elected leader in Rose's district contributed. Among those who didn't, Ray Cunningham, mayor of the Champaign County village of Homer, who said he declined to put his name at the bottom of a letter that called for reopening our communities now, safely and with the necessary precautions. It was co-signed by the mayors and village presidents of Fisher, Muhammad, Ogden, Rantoul, Savoy, St. Joseph, and Tolono. Said Cunningham, I disagree with the Republican view on the pandemic and prefer to rely on health officials on reopening. Rose said that the packet was not meant to be political. It wouldn't be credible if I only included people I agree with, he added, but rather an argument in their own words from constituents on the need to further adjust the five-phase Restore Illinois plan, which calls for the state's four regions to advance to phase three a week from today. Among the issues officials raised in their letters to Pritzker, small businesses are hurting in ways you can't imagine. This was the most cited concern expressed by the leaders of Monticello, Tuscola, and Villa Grove, among many others. Eight Republican members of the Champaign County Board co-signed a letter critical of rules they say seem to favor big box stores and businesses found in our urban centers of the state, but crush small businesses deemed non-essential. In another letter co-signed by 15 Douglas County officials, they wrote, folks who have invested their hearts and soul, as well as their fortunes, feel helpless as they feel their dreams are being destroyed. As difficult as it is to create new businesses in our small communities, we must find ways to support them now and not see them lost forever. Small business loans, even ones with 0% interest, aren't an across-the-board solution. Many of our business owners in Vermilion County that I have talked to say they don't need loans because they would probably not be able to pay them back at this point, County Board Chairman Larry Bond wrote. They just need to get their doors open, as has happened across the border in Indiana. The University of Illinois should be in a different track than elementary, middle, and high schools. As things stand now, Champaign Mayor Deb Finan noted in a letter, all schools from preschools to universities are lumped into phase four reopenings. The issues related to the reopening of the university are very different than P through 12 schools. Thus, I would request that higher education be placed on a different track with specific goals and guidelines that will allow decisions to be made in a timely manner for the August start of school. I would also note that universities such as Notre Dame are actually pushing up their start date in an attempt to manage the possible surge of cases in the fall by having students complete the semester earlier than normal. This type of creative thinking is not possible if the university has to wait until late July or August before we know if it may reopen. The messaging from non-essential to the lives versus livelihoods argument is all wrong, wrote Farmer City's Testori. Please stop framing this as a debate between health care versus jobs, which he says serves only to pit neighbors against each other. Where we live, Testori added, we have entire hospitals that have laid off half of their staffs, along with the medical clinics that have closed. The current approach is crippling our health care systems. Restore Illinois moves too slowly, especially for pockets of the state with few or no confirmed cases. A letter signed by 13 leaders in Edgar County notes that it remains one of two of the 102 statewide that have yet to report a confirmed case. As of Thursday, 337 residents had been tested with 334 negative and 3 pending results. They wrote, in light of the current lack of confirmed cases, the fact that testing capacity is increasing, our access to local health care through Horizon Health, and the track record of our local essential businesses operating safely, we believe Edgar County should be allowed to move into phase 3/recovery and phase 4 revitalization immediately. The letter was dated May 7th. Politics shouldn't come into play, Monticello Mayor Larry Stoner urged Pritzker to sit down with downstate legislators and come up with a compromise writing. Let's not make our state a microcosm of what's happening at the national level. We can work together if we are looking out for the best interests of our citizens. This article is also on the front page of the News Gazette. It's called Ready to Open Again, Check the Rules, and this is by Deborah Pressey. Employees in masks, capacity limits, extensive sanitizing, and continuing those all-important six-foot social distances sound familiar? This is some of what consumers can expect to find when Champaign County businesses begin to reopen soon, and to some extent, it will be similar to what they've been experiencing in businesses that have remained open since Illinois' mandatory lockdown in late March. Safe reopening guidelines for various businesses segments, from hair salons to child care centers, have been spelled out on a new website of champaigncountysafe.org. All local businesses planning to reopen are encouraged to check it out, said Champaign Planning and Development Director Bruce Knight. This resource hub for local businesses has been based on best practices and assembled by nearly two dozen local organizations and municipalities, local officials said. It's intended to be advisory only. Businesses are being advised to consult their lawyers and make sure all decisions they make in reopening are based on a review of relevant laws. Governor J.B. Pritzker's announcement Wednesday that restaurants and bars would also have a chance to reopen soon with outdoor seating only was unexpected news, according to Champaign County Chamber of Commerce President Laura Weiss. We've got 10 days for people to get prepared. What reopening will initially look like is a good question, Weiss said, but she projected the public will venture back out into the community. I think there's a strong sense of people wanting to return to normal. Nothing about this is going to be normal, Weiss warned, though. I think we're going to be getting to light at the end of the tunnel. Knight said Champaign County has taken a multi-agency approach to planning for a safe reopening. The city isn't looking at extensive road closure downtown to help provide extended outdoor seating space for restaurants, largely because restaurants have indicated curbside pickups are essential for their survival. The city is, however, considering some minor street closures and ways for businesses to use parking lots for outdoor table space. For bars, coffee shops, restaurants, and catering services, some of the guidelines on the new website include spacing tables 6 feet apart, removing condiments from tables and providing them on request only, with containers sanitized in between use, and removing lemons and unwrapped straws from self-service drink stations. Also, patrons should be encouraged to view menus on their personal devices or posted where they can be viewed without being touched. And if menus are laminated, they should be cleaned in between use, or disposable paper menus should be used, the guide says. Barbershops and hair and nail salons are being advised to provide services by appointments only and to limit the number of clients allowed inside at any one time to 3 or 50% of the normal capacity. Stations should be separated by 6 feet, and all equipment, chairs, and tables should be sanitized between clients, and no books or magazines should be provided to customers. Hotels are advised to add disinfectant to laundry loads and rethink significant touch points in rooms, such as remote controls, room service menus, and reading materials. The new website also includes general guidelines for keeping workplaces safe and information such as how long COVID-19 lives on various kinds of surfaces, preparing business spaces to limit the spread of germs, and cleaning and disinfecting after opening. Local businesses are also being asked to go to the new website and take a safety pledge setting out what customers can expect from them. Those who take the pledge will be included on an online list the public can see, and the pledges can also be posted in business windows. Another article on page one has to do with the Memorial Day weekend. With ceremonies canceled, veterans still doing their part to honor comrades. And this is by Bob Asmussen. J.R. Stillwell has been a part of a Memorial Day service at Champaign's Mount Hope Cemetery since 1948 until this year. The coronavirus pandemic has forced a change to Stillwell's routine. There won't be any services, said Stillwell of Champaign American Legion Post 24. The only time we've done without would be weather-related. You can't say I'm very happy about it, that's for sure. Stillwell said the ceremonies go back more than 100 years. Spanish-American War veterans participated, a sign of the longevity of the tradition. On Tuesday, Stillwell stood near the grave of the last Spanish-American War veteran involved in the event. The veteran would lead a short parade on horseback. Though there won't be a service during the extended holiday weekend, Stillwell will continue to honor the many veterans at Mount Hope and Roselawn cemeteries. He has American flags waiting for the loved ones of fallen veterans. Stillwell will be in his 1995 Mercury near the mausoleum, handing them out to anyone who asks. I will be here almost all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Stillwell said. He has also been leaving flags near the cemetery office. So far, not very many people have picked them up. He estimates there are 600 to 700 veterans buried at Mount Hope and Roselawn cemeteries. Stillwell, 85, served in the U.S. Army from January 1955 to 58. He was stationed in Orleans, France, 85 miles south of Paris. That's not too bad. Later, Stillwell spent 38 years working in the insurance office at the University of Illinois. His late father, Clyde, first got Stillwell involved in the Memorial Day ceremonies. While still in junior high, Stillwell created a record of their burials in the Roselawn military section. Does he think the Memorial Day service will return to normal in 2021? I hope so. On Saturday morning, AmVets Post 3 will be putting flags on the graves of veterans at Champaign's Grandview Memorial Gardens. At 6 a.m. Monday, larger flags will fly, just like we always do, Post 3's Rich Barnett said. Barnett said close to 3,000 flags will be placed by a team of 20 to 30. Another 15 help with the bigger flags. The beauty of it is I have such great help on this, Barnett said. It's a pretty good-sized project, and a lot of it's going to be missing this year. But at least we've got some of it we picked up so we can have something for the community to remember those who have done what they've done. People are so good about waiting to make sure our military is remembered. Barnett, a 75-year-old Urbana resident, has been involved in Memorial Day ceremonies since 1999. During past years, a service was held at 10:30 a.m. A speaker was included as part of a program that ran about 40 minutes. Barnett served in Vietnam War in the late 1960s. I've been doing veterans volunteer stuff ever since. Edwin Cook, the color guard captain of VFW Post 5520, said no ceremony would be held this year at Urbana's Woodlawn Cemetery because of COVID-19. The event has been held for more than two decades. It's unfortunate, Cook said. It's really tough. It's been going on so long, and it's a way to honor all of our veterans, our comrades who have fallen in past wars and past conflicts. It's kind of put us in a weird place. In past years, volunteers would go out and place flags at all the graves. This year, the veterans portion of the cemetery will be decorated a total of about 600. Flags will be left at the office for families of non-military graves. We're not going to be able to do the whole cemetery this year, said Cook, a 52-year-old Champaign resident who fought in Desert Storm. Urbana American Legion Post 71 also won't hold a service this year. At Urbana's East Lawn Burial Park, the post will decorate and mark the graves of veterans with an American flag, Commander Bruce Brown said.
On page two of the News Gazette, it's Top of the Morning with Bob Asmussen, and it's titled, What's Cool in School? After working at Danville High School as the assistant cashier for the past 5 years, Tracy Sanders decided to go to college for the first time. Sanders is not a typical college student. She is 46 and has been out in the real world since high school in Virginia. Sanders just completed her accounting degree at Danville Area Community College with a perfect 4.0 grade point average, earning summa cum laude recognition with 15 other graduates. It took self-discipline and having a schedule, Sanders said. I was able to schedule my classes around all the things I had going on with work and family. It worked out really well. Sanders and her fellow graduates will be honored at 7 p.m. today in a virtual ceremony that will be shown on YouTube. You know how you have the experience, but you want to have the paper? It was a goal I set, and I'm happy I finally reached it, Sanders said. She gives a lot of credit to her husband of 24 years, Tony. He did a lot of laundry and dishes, even cooked all our meals to give me time to study. Okay, at Parkland College is also holding its commencement ceremony at 7 p.m. today on YouTube. U.S. Army Colonel retired Craig Osborne, Chief of Staff of the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies, is giving the keynote address. Also in national news, murder charge for man who filmed shooting. This is from Savannah, Georgia, and it's the Associated Press. The Georgia man whose cell phone video of Ahmaud Arbery's fatal shooting helped reignite the case was charged with murder Thursday, making him the third person arrested more than 2 months after the slaying. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation said 50-year-old William Roddy Bryan Jr. was arrested on charges of felony murder and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. No other details were given. The GBI said in a statement that it would hold a news conference Friday morning. Arbery was slain February 23rd when a white father and son armed themselves and pursued him after spotting the 25-year-old black man running in their neighborhood. More than 2 months passed before authorities arrested Gregory McMichael, 64, and his son Travis, 34, on charges of felony murder and aggravated assault. Gregory McMichael told police he suspected Arbery was a burglar and that Arbery attacked his son before being shot. Brian, who lives in the same subdivision just outside the port city of Brunswick, and the video he took from the cab of his vehicle helped stir a national outcry when it leaked online May 5th. The video quickly drew a strong reaction from Republican Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who called it absolutely horrific. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation soon took over the case from local police, and the arrest of the McMichaels followed on May 7th. Under Georgia law, a person can be charged with felony murder for committing any felony that causes the death of someone else. It does not require intent to kill and carries an automatic life sentence. Okay, going to the local section of the paper. This is titled column going Go Figure. Let's say numerical look at local headlines. 11 annual awards handed out this week, virtually, of course, by the Junior League of Champaign-Urbana. The award called Jen Smith Living Legendary Award, it went to Andrea Rundell for her dedication to our community as she works tirelessly to empower women, increase community capacity, and support women who face barriers in society. The Elizabeth Alexander Spirit Award goes to London Blake for her commitment to our community as her impact is invaluable and her positivity is admirable. The Sustainer Community Impact Award to Danielle Wilberg for advocating for women's access to higher education, promoting an athletic mentoring program, and remaining actively engaged in Junior League on the national level. The Mission Partner Award to Two Men and a Truck for their mission to give back to the community by donating their moving services. And the student scholarships, each worth $750 apiece, to Leah Fields from Champaign Central, to Abby Guido from St. Thomas More, from Molly Sweeney, Urbana, Minji Choi from Uni High, Amelia Nelson, Judah Christian, and First in the Family Scholarship recipients go to JL Lugano, Urbana, and Dominic Fuentes of Central. The year 2022, that's when Vic Zimmerman now plans to retire as Monticello District Superintendent, a full year later than originally scheduled. Among the reasons for the change, which was proposed by school board members, a $35 million construction project, followed by building realignments and training a new transportation director. Said board president Gary Huizenga, the events of the past few weeks regarding COVID-19 and remote learning just added to a long list, including construction, classroom changes and transition, principal changes, financial challenges coming, and negotiations that will all go so much smoother with Dr. Zimmerman's experience and consistency in that office. Another number is 27 mentees in the CU one-to-one program set to graduate from Champaign High Schools. From Centennial, Devontae Bailey, Ilea Brown, Cameron Cole, Angel Diaz, Jeriaya Dillon, China Eldridge, Colton Grimes, Taylor Hale, Jasmine Hoffman, Termarian Howard, Dayana James, Jamal Jones, Bryson McClendon, Basha Milam, Shiria Netter, and Tyson Sigler. And graduates of the one-to-one program mentee from Central High, Ashanti Adams, Pasquale Andres, Brianna Binion, Mizal Carmona, Keandra Howell, Madison Osler, and Godelev Shimanga. From the Novak Academy, Tommy Emerson, Breton Colding, and Perla Juarez. From St. Thomas More, Tyron Lee. Okay, the daily question to ask the admin. It's a daily question to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. Question is, will there be a version of drive-through coronavirus testing for people who don't have cars and want to be tested? I tried to access the drive-thru at Marketplace on my bike and was turned away. I don't have a car, so where do I go to get tested for free? The answer is please call the COVID-19 hotline at 217-239-7877 for a testing code. Carl's free testing location on South Mattis Avenue can accommodate walk-ups. It is also on a bus route. And here's a little ad for the Standard Time with Ann Roten. There'll be a Memorial Day show Sunday, May 24th, 2020, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. In honor of Memorial Day, Ann will play music from the different war eras along with patriotic favorites. She also keeps you up to date with the latest news and sports and lottery numbers and the weather forecasts. And that's on News Talk 1400. WDWSAM. And we got some little history news, international history. On this date in 1915, the Lassen Peak volcano in Northern California exploded, devastating nearby areas but causing no deaths. And in 1992, after nearly 30 years, Johnny Carson hosted NBCA's Tonight Show for the final time. This is Betty, and we're going to be taking a short break now and return with the second half of the News Gazette soon. And I am reading from the News Gazette, Friday, May 22nd.